she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying in the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to the others and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a situation that should have made sense but didn't? Have you walked into a room or a store or an office or a house or a classroom? Maybe one that you've entered 100 times before. Only this time, something's just a bubble off. Have you ever assumed you knew what was next, but what came next was not at all what you expected? It's a bit unnerving when that happens, isn't it? These things happen for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes something changes in a relationship and everything seems somehow off. Sometimes predictable circumstances shift, and while we can't say how or why, we can say things aren't as they should be. Sometimes people behave in unexpected ways. It happens. It happens, and what we do with what happens can actually change our lives. Think about it. Have you ever paid attention to something that you wouldn't normally pay attention to, and because you did, your life, or at least your day, went a different direction? Have you ever changed your plans, and because you did, something huge happened, or didn't? That's exactly what was going on early that Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She had gone to the garden, to the tomb, to be with her beloved teacher because the ache inside her was nearly unbearable. She had been at the foot of the cross. She had watched him die. She had remained faithful to Jesus until the end, until the hard and heartbreaking end. It was all for love, you know. Mary couldn't have abandoned Jesus on the cross any more than she could have abandoned him in the intimacy of their deepest conversations. And that is because real love, the kind of love Jesus spent his life preaching and teaching, the kind of love Mary Magdalene experienced in Jesus and in that community of discipleship, that kind of love never, ever dies. That love was what brought her back to the garden on that sad Sunday morning. She wanted to go to the garden tomb to be with Jesus, not just to remember, but to sit and sink in to the love she had known. But something was wrong when she arrived, and she knew it. We hear this story every year, and because we think we know it so well, perhaps we don't pay close enough attention to recognize that. We certainly aren't as shocked as Mary was. But really, can you imagine it? It would be like rounding the corner right outside our church and going down into the columbarium, and instead of hearing bird songs and calming sounds of the bubbling fountain and the wind blowing through the trees, instead of smelling the daphne and seeing the glorious flowers in spring bloom, instead of all that softness and beauty, what if you rounded that corner and saw niches opened up, name plaques upended, and the ashes of your beloved gone? No wonder Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She'd had to look. But when she did, instead of finding Jesus' lifeless body, she found angels there. When they asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" frantic with worry, she could only say, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She didn't even seem to know she was talking to angels. And then something happened. We don't know what it was, but something happened, because before there was time for any sort of angelic response, Mary turned away to see a man in front of her, a man she assumed was the gardener. That's how it is, isn't it? We see what we expect to see, which sometimes means we miss a lot. Mary was in a garden, so of course she assumed she was looking at the gardener. She must still have been crying, because even the gardener asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She had said the same thing to him as she'd said to the angel, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And in that moment, everything changed. It wasn't the first thing he had said to her. It wasn't his appearance. It wasn't even his voice that caught her attention. She hadn't known him when he addressed her as woman, but when he spoke her name, Mary, everything she knew about the way the world worked, about the way life and death work, fell away. Jesus had died. She had been there. She saw it. She felt it. She knew it. And yet, here he was, her beloved teacher. Their exchange was so profoundly personal. When Jesus called her by name, she didn't just reply teacher or Jesus or Lord or master. She called him by name too. Rabboni, my teacher, my beloved teacher. Mary, Rabboni. So many other very important things were spoken that first Easter morning, but we will never begin to understand their importance until we understand what Jesus did in that simple act of speaking Mary's name. He saw her. He knew her. He recognized her, and he spoke to her with words meant only for her. And of course, that changed everything. That's how it is, right? I have been seen, so now I can see. It couldn't possibly have been true, but there it was. Not just Jesus resurrected in some ethereal way, but Jesus present in a deeply, deeply personal way. Death, resurrection, the Paschal mystery, the beauty of the Christian story, the reality that life wins, that love wins, that God redeems absolutely everything. These very rich and important, albeit mysterious, realities come to their deepest meaning in the particular, in the reality of one human seeing, really seeing, another, and calling her by name. Jesus spoke Mary's name, and the whole world changed. If you're lucky, you know about that. Maybe it was the first time your little one looked into your eyes, held your face in his chubby little hands, and spoke the sweetest words you will ever hear. Dada. Maybe it was when you heard your name announced at the graduation you never dreamed you could achieve, or the welcome and baptism you had never even imagined. Maybe it was the first time your beloved spoke your name. Maybe it was the last time. Whenever it was, there's something quite extraordinary about being called by name, not just being recognized, but being seen and known. When Jesus called Mary by name, she knew Jesus was right there with her, not just in that moment, but in all the moments that were to come. To be resurrection people is to know the presence of the living, loving God, the God who truly sees us, who loves us, who beckons us to love each other and to see each other as God's own beloved. Not even death can destroy that kind of love. This is what resurrection is for Christians. Not just that Jesus is with us, but that everyone we love but see no longer is with us too. Just as we know Jesus Christ to be in our midst, we know our own beloveds to be in our midst too. You see, resurrection is not some sort of otherworldly magic trick. It's a way of seeing that leads to loving. Do we understand it? No. Do we need to? No, we don't. I cannot make sense of the resurrection any more than you can, but I experience it in my daily life, so I know it's true. I experience it when someone who has just received a difficult diagnosis decides to live her life with deep intentionality for as long as she lives. I experience it when someone finally decides to go into recovery. I experience it when people marry, and even when people divorce, so they can finally live into their lives fully, lovingly, and authentically. All of us who were there last night experienced it when Alex was baptized. I experience it each time I recognize myself as beloved. Understanding is so different from believing, from having faith, from what some would call the foolishness of hoping it's true. But tell me, would you prefer to live in the world as a person who believes truth and beauty and hope and goodness are true? Or would you prefer to live as though none of that were true, as though the ugliness of the world, as it actually is out there, was all there is? It's not a frivolous question. It's actually a question you could stake your lives on. Hope or hopelessness? One cannot prove either. How then shall we live? The resurrection faith Mary Magdalene shows us is a beautiful, gentle reminder of what it is to believe that love transcends everything. Anger, vengeance, politics, power, hate, fear, even death. Love transcends everything. We learned that from Jesus. And from Mary Magdalene, we learn that faith, a pure and simple willingness to believe the real truth that is right in front of our eyes, no matter how unrealistic that truth might seem, that gives life. Not just for you or for me or the ones we love, but for the whole wide world. That's what resurrection people proclaim, and that's the way resurrection people live. The miracle isn't so much that the tomb is empty. The real miracle is that we can live our whole lives encountering the risen Lord. When we hold hope, when we believe, and when we act on our belief by truly seeing and loving each other, Jesus lives. That's our job, you know. We're Christians, resurrection people, and our job is to hold hope. Not some ideal of hope, but real hope. Hope that is infused with the power of love. Hope that must act in the world. There are many who would say that being filled with hope is ridiculous, unwarranted, even foolish. But our God is the God who calls each one of us by name to be the hope the whole wide world is dying for. We have a choice. We always have a choice. We can live in hope, or we can live in hopelessness. We can believe in death, or we can believe in life. We can live in fear, or we can live in love. What will you choose? How will you live? Listen, the God who loves you is calling you, whispering your name, and saying, practice resurrection. Amen.